Hey everyone, it's Bree from the On-Call Room. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to preface it with some unfortunate news. The sound quality with the co-hosts this week is less than ideal, and we're actively working to troubleshoot this issue and provide consistent quality sound each week. So from Abby and me, we want to sincerely apologize and thank you for your continuous patience and support. And as a way to thank you for listening through this week, we will be releasing two episodes back to back next week. So make sure to look out for that. And again, we're so very sorry. So even though the sound quality is not great this week, please continue to listen because our co-host Melissa was wonderful this week and makes some great points. So let's get into it. Season 4, Episode 2.
Hello, people.
Welcome to the On-Call Room, a Grey's Anatomy podcast with your host, Bree and...
Abby. I almost said Babby. what's up?
Not much. What's up with you?
Not much. I'm looking at Bree's beautiful fall arrangement of gourds.
It's fall, motherfuckers.
Also, that gourd is hugging that gourd.
I did it on purpose.
Also, gourd is a weird word.
Gourd.
I remember gourd. When we would go to get pumpkins, I'd be like, fuck these pumpkins. And I'd be like, Mom, can I have this tiny pumpkin?
Yeah. This one with warts all over it. I love it.
See, I like this one. Like, I would choose the smallest,
like the little pie pumpkin.
The little round ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that means you can't carve them.
Yeah, what? I hate carving pumpkins. Did you know that about me? It's my least favorite
We're going to do it this year. Why do you hate it?
As a kid, my mom would hold my hand in there. Like, she loves it, and I would refuse to touch it because I was grossed out by, like...
What if we put some gloves on you?
It's very hard. I don't know. I would be like... I would cry. I think she... That's, like, how parenting, they get out their anger. Like, put your hand in the pumpkin! But, yeah.
Called emotional abuse.
I hated it so much. I would always... I remember once I'd be like, okay, fine, you get it out and I'll get the seeds out. That's the worst job. It's much better to just get the shit out of the pumpkin.
Why wouldn't you use a spoon?
Well, we did. You carve it out, but then you have to get the seeds out. I hate having to touch.
Oh, did you guys bake the seeds?
Oh, always.
Fuck that.
That's
like separating that. No, just throw that shit away. If you want pumpkin seeds, buy them from Trader Joe's.
No, my mom makes the best pumpkin seeds. Mm. You dry them out, and then she makes two batches. One that's just like salt, which is so good, and the other one is like cinnamon and sugar.
Mm. That's nice. Just buy them from Trader Joe's.
That's why I think I was like child labor, because we would carve like four pumpkins and bake all of the seeds.
Oh, yeah, that's what was happening. And then she'd sell them on the black market.
For drugs, for meth.
For meth. Speaking of meth. No, but that will be later.
Fall is coming, but it's going to be warm again, which I'm thankful for because I'm not ready to say goodbye.
We need like one more weekend of it.
Yeah, I'm really sad. And I have a great wedding this weekend, so I hope it's really warm.
Shoot, I'm sad you have a wedding this weekend because it's pagan festival this weekend.
What the fuck? Oh, is that the witch thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like, yeah, but there's like crystals and stuff and like cool moon necklaces.
This is where you got your cool moon necklace.
Yeah, and they have like sword fighting and shit. It's super weird, but it's cool.
I really actually do wish I could go.
Yeah, I'll be there.
It sounds fun. What are you going to wear?
I wore a black jumper last year.
You're going to say a black cloak.
I wore a black cloak. Black cloak.
I wore a black cloak. Also, guys. Bree's done with Whole 30 and we had wine.
Yeah. The energy of the episodes might ramp up in the next couple of weeks because I'm not just like drinking San Pellegrino anymore.
Yeah. How was it? You did it successfully.
I did not. I didn't cheat one day. Yeah. John did
him under the bus.
Like 2 days before or something because he went to a Notre Dame game. And I was like, dude, do it. Mm-hmm. You're like... It's good. But he pretty much did the whole thing. And I felt great. And I still feel good. And I'm not drinking on weeknights except for when we podcast.
That's why I didn't bring anything over because I didn't know.
Just when I don't have to work in the morning.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so that.
It's a weekend.
So it's technically a weekend.
Also right now, Johnny K is at my husband Jake's house.
You didn't call it your house.
I know. I thought that was nice of me to say
that
it that
was really
way.
Nice.
Because usually I say my house.
Yeah, they're watching football together. John brought over pretzels and hummus and stir fry
for himself, not for Jake.
I told
and beers. He Ubered there. I don't know if they're like getting rowdy tonight or what.
I don't know. I kind of hope not, because then Jake will snore so bad.
They're definitely getting rowdy there.
I was really hoping it'd be very chill and that John would have to work tomorrow.
No, he does not.
Oh no.
You're probably going to leave here and he's still not going to be home.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'll just sleep here.
Yeah, that's fine. We can sleep in the same bed.
Perfect. I want to sleep by the Jean wall.
Doesn't anyway. Exist anymore.
Okay, so first of all, thanks everyone for the feedback on the changes that we made or the like upcoming things. I think we've had some new patrons and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think shit's growing exponentially, and everyone there were some good posts in the
Facebook group.
Yeah, did you see the
promo?
Yeah, thanks for reading my mind, because I don't have words right now.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
Do you think DeLuca and Mare get together?
I like to think it's the dream sequence.
You know, everyone in the group is a little like, no, thank you. But I'm kind of like turned on by it. I would not mind DeLuca and Meredith.
Yeah. Also, I feel like the reason why I think it's a dream sequence is whenever, like, they used to do those with Meredith all the time.
Yeah. Be like, ooh, and a big whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping that because Meredith's back to her like sexy self, there might be some sexy dream sequences. And then I think because she was so awkward. So I wonder if like then she feels awkward around him because she dreamt about having sex with him.
I bet you're right.
But I like DeLuca as well. But I liked him with the one character that then she went on a different show. So they had to write her off. Basically by immigration. Bad, tough way to go.
Yeah. To be
off
the show.
Off the show. After the Emmys, after this episode airs, next week are the Emmys.
Yeah, so
we want Sandra Oh to win.
Yes, we do. And so we'll have...
What will we do if she wins? Streak? Maybe we do a bonus episode dedicated to Sandra Oh as an actress?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah, we can talk about her in Princess Bride. If she wins... We'll do our bonus episode about her.
Maybe we'll
look up some facts and
stuff.
Yeah,
I think that'd be fun. And like interview stuff, because there's a lot of interesting juice.
Yeah, there's some juice that we could really get
into. What's the phrase?
There's some juicy gossip.
I don't know.
We have a pretty good episode for
you. I think we're kind of going to just get into it because it's a lot.
But before we do, we should probably just reiterate, talk to you guys again about all of your options. Now, we don't have to, where you can find us and shit.
Yeah, like that. So basically, you're hopefully on iTunes. And if you aren't,
whoa.
How are you listening to this? Actually,
DM us.
Have you ever Googled the Uncall Room podcast? Because I always do to try to see if we're popping up in any news sites. And basically, there's a bunch of weird websites that like pull from iTunes. And it's like you can look at podcasts there. So if you don't have an iPhone, just Google us and find one of those weird-ass websites. Sorry that we're not on...
You can go to SoundCloud.
Yeah, you can go to SoundCloud. We're not on Stitcher yet or the other one.
Because or Spotify.
I don't know how to use them.
We'll figure it out someday.
Yeah. When
not
you,
today.
Motherfuckers. So leave a review.
So hopefully you're on iTunes.
Yeah, and leave a review.
That's important.
And also
Should we read a review?
Yeah, let's read one. And also, I would love if you guys... We've been getting a lot of messages on Instagram.
I love that.
I know. We are at the On Call Room Pod. And we post funny stuff on there sometimes.
My tag... What is it called?
BJ Babs.
Is, oh my God, we have more reviews. At BJ Babs. That's BJ, BABS.
Bree's trying to get to 500 followers by Christmas.
Yeah, I'm at like 423 or something. So we're getting there.
427, Bree.
Oh shit, yeah. Okay.
She's going to read a featured review. In a second.
Well, I'm just trying to see which one we should do. Okay, we'll do this one. 10 out of 10 would recommend. I can't count the amount of times this podcast has made me laugh out loud. You don't have to be a Grey's fanatic to enjoy this podcast or have even watched Grey's. These girls go off topic enough that anyone could be entertained while listening. Tiny spiders, crazy neighbors, awful great Michigan weather, Harry Potter, Legolas, enemas, freak dancing, poetry. You'll hear about any and every... about any and everything when you listen. I love Grays and I love this podcast. That was Katie Dubs. Thank you. And then Kels Z-Man with two N's. Fun and well done. These ladies do it right. They hit all the points of Grey's Anatomy and are just awesome humans. Never stop.
We will
never. We will never stop. We will never let you down. Z-Man.
So
never.
Thank you guys so much.
So and continue to leave reviews. Yeah. We're like still at 5 stars.
Yeah, don't give us anything other than a 5. Like if you don't want to rate us 5, just message us.
Yeah, don't put and tell it us there. Why.
Yeah. Or like leave an angry one, but give it 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. If you want to say like, these bitches suck.
Yeah, but then give us a 5-star. We're fine with that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Also, we're going to get into a really quick, a new segment that before we start this episode. What?
Am I not supposed to say? No, you missed one more.
What?
Thing. Patreon.
Oh, God. The one where we make money.
Yeah.
Except we don't. We just break even.
Yeah.
If you would like to help
barely.
Us.
Barely. We're if you still would, not breaking even.
That's true. If you would like to help us pay back our national debt of starting this podcast.
The national. Wait. I'm sorry. Before we get into Patreon, I just have to let everyone know that I made Johnny K. watch a National Treasure the
it's
other night.
It's so good. You didn't like it.
He didn't really care for it that much.
Well.
But.
You have to watch it when you're a sponge, like a young sponge.
Yeah, that's I think what I said. I was like, imagine watching this at like 15 and getting like jacked up. Like, on history. Nicolas Cage. He was like, this is very inaccurate. I was like, yeah, but who gives a fuck?
Also, the opening scene when he's in that giant snowmobile car. And you're just like, where?
And also, who gives to his Declaration of Independence?
He says that a thousand... He says the phrase, someone is going to steal the Declaration, or I am going to, or they have stolen.
I just wanted everyone to know we finally watched it. Anyway, Patreon.
Patreon?
Because you said pay back the national debt.
Yeah. Patreon.com/TheOnCallRoom is where you can become an intern, a resident, or an attending, and you can get different, like, bonuses for helping with the podcast. So there's, like...
Awards.
There is like bonus episodes, signed album art, joining our elite fucking Facebook group. It's very exclusive.
It is.
And we're going to do a very special thing soon that we're going to announce in the Facebook group. So you should get in there. It has to do with things you wear on your body.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all.
Or Google Hangouts. Or like tonight, you can co-host with us. So.
Yep.
Look it up. www.patreon.com/TheOnCallRoom. It's also in the notes.
Show notes. Okay, so we're going to start a new little segment, and this is the first one. Like we talked about before, once we reach $400 a month, we will open up our voicemail phone number for you guys to text or give phone calls. We gave it to Sarah, who was on last week's episode, and she is, as she said, like a forensic something.
Forensic scientist.
Forensic scientist. Thank you.
I think.
And she spoke about the... the meth storyline in this episode. So we are going to just let that play so that you can hear it from her and just know that soon you can leave voicemails like this too.
Yeah, so this this week's segment is Science with Sarah.
Science with Sarah. Let's get into it.
Hey, ladies. Happy streaming night. It's Sarah. I thought I'd call and give you... some fun information about meth and meth labs for this week's episode. So, first of all, let me disclaimer this by saying a clandestine meth lab is very dangerous. Please don't make meth at home. Okay, now that we've done that, there are a variety of ways to make meth, all of which are getting more and more difficult because the chemicals and or drugs that people use to make it at home are being tracked. Sometimes there are certain keyword searches that are tracked online. I can tell you right now, I guarantee you I'm on every single watch list that exists because of my studies and my job. As for this episode, concerning, I'm going to go mostly with like the kid and then the adult patient that George was taking care of. So with the kid, this totally happens. With clandestine labs of any kind. Kids will crawl around and like the people who are making it don't realize that all of those chemicals, all of those vapors, everything they're making is in the air and then settles on the surfaces around the house. And kids, you know, stick their fingers in their mouth all the time. So kids will get low level exposures to things like meth. On more than one occasion, I've had to testify on hair testing for kids, because I found cocaine or meth or whatever. The way the kid is acting is totally consistent with how a kid would react to having that much meth in their system and then going through acute withdrawal. As for the adult, he also is reacting very similarly to the way someone would react with acute withdrawal with methamphetamine. The only thing that's kind of inconsistent here is that they can easily treat the symptoms of meth withdrawal with a drug called Wellbutrin. It's what they oftentimes give people who are going off of meth in a controlled setting. And it can help alleviate a lot of the symptoms. So the fact that they're not doing that in the adult, at least, I don't really buy in this episode. He still probably would have had a heart attack because meth causes cardiotoxicity, no matter whether you're treating with Wellbutrin or not. It takes your body a while to get used to producing its own dopamine at normal levels. In the kid, though, Wellbutrin is not studied in kids that young, so there's a lot of different strategies for treating a kid with methamphetamine withdrawal, but none of them are really all that successful. The kid almost always ends up with neurological damage or brain damage somewhere along the line. Trying to think what else I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you how to make meth, although I learned how to do that in school.
So,
what did we learn?
What we just learned is don't cook meth.
Yeah, don't do it.
Or don't do meth.
Don't do meth. Don't make it.
Don't cook meth.
Don't cook it. If you're feeling the urge, just watch Breaking Bad or this episode on repeat to remind yourself it's not a good idea.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, ladies.
Yay.
What's up?
I was just about to say this was our most successful entrance.
And then I had to say, what's up?
Scrubbing in. Oh, you wanted to say it.
It's okay.
You scrubbing go. In on the on-call room today, we have Melissa.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So before we get started, we'll just do what we always do. We'll ask you a couple questions, give you a moment to talk about your life, and mm-hmm. then we'll get into the episode. So first of all, your name is Melissa. Where are you?
Yes.
I'm in my living room. No. So I live in the Detroit area in Michigan.
Awesome. Michigan. Is this our first? No. I mean, we've had local Michigan.
Yeah,
like,
but I don't think we've
but
had
like a call-in.
Yeah. I don't think we've had another Michigan call-in.
That's fun.
Represent.
Melissa, do you know either of us or like through us someone?
I don't think so because I didn't grow up in the area.
Wow. That's even more exciting. Yeah, I'd rather, it's more fun to talk when we don't actually know. It's not like, oh yeah, you were my friend of a friend.
Yeah.
No.
So what do you do in the Detroit area?
I'm a civil engineer and I do road and highway design. So basically when you're driving on the highway and there are all the construction barrels and it's down to one lane and you're like, what the, that's my fault. Sorry.
There's a lot of that on the east side too. Good job.
Do you work for like the city then, or do you work for like a private company? You don't have to answer that.
No, that's fine. Sorry, I can't tell you. No, I work for a private consultant and then we get hired by MDOT or like local municipalities to perform work.
That's so cool.
Where did you go to school?
Yeah, I like it. I went to Cornell and it's what I studied. So
Cornell, like Andy Bernard?
Like Andy Bernard, yes. Okay, Ed Helms was actually my convocation speaker for graduation.
Cool. I don't even know who mine was. Like, I don't even know if it was important. I don't even know if it was a he or a she.
if it wasn't Ed Helms, I probably wouldn't have remembered.
Was he good?
Yes, he was so funny. He started off his speech by being like, yeah, so I made fun of you guys for years, so I'm not really sure why you invited me here, but like, okay.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love that. Was that show, when you were there, was that show on or it already happened?
I think it was still on. I actually never kept up with it, but this was like the early 2010s. So
okay, cool. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Also, I love that that's a job. It's the job that like you forget has to exist,
yeah,
but is like very important. And it also reminds me of the Dr. Seuss book, the one where the Sneetches, I think, they like get stuck in an argument and all these highways get built around them. And I always used to think, I wonder who builds highways. And anyways, we're talking to one now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that meme that says, what even is traffic? Just drive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that one. That's
what
great.
What even is.
Okay, so a little bit about Grey's here. When was the first time you started watching, or what was the first episode, or how did you get introduced to Grey's?
Yeah, so I started watching in 2014, which I'm not sure what season was current at the time. I should have looked it up. But I started at the beginning because I had just graduated from college and I wasn't going to start work yet. So I was like, what am I going to do with my time? And my little from my service fraternity suggested Grey's. So I just binged all of it over the summer.
Nice. Wow.
That's a lot of seasons. Emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was committed, I guess you could say.
You are now today as well.
Yeah. Well, so I'm not, I guess you could say that, but like I stopped at season 10, like after they bring Maggie on and get rid of like Arizona and like, I don't know, I just couldn't care about any new characters. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Your heart has been broken and expanded too many times.
Exactly. Exactly. I just can't take one more heartbreak, Shonda Rhimes. So I'll watch through season 10 and then just start at the beginning again.
Oh, that's funny.
So you started like season one, episode one though? You didn't like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to do it. Although a lot of people don't, like a lot of people we've talked to just randomly started. Okay. So we know that do you think you'll ever, this is a random question, not on my list, but do you think you'll ever like finish Grey's, or you're just like, I'm just not going to do that?
I think probably not because I'm like super opposed to it. I just don't think I'll make the time.
Yeah.
If something really cool happens, like in this new season, if something really cool happens, then I'll skip to it, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple seasons in there that are just bullshit. So you don't really need to, you're not missing much.
Right.
Okay, great.
So who is your favorite character?
Well, there are so many good ones, but I think my favorite is Bailey.
Oh, yes. Good answer.
She's a good answer.
I love her every time we record, so I think she could turn into mine.
Yeah.
She was never a first choice for him, and now she's going to be.
Johnny K said that last night when we were watching the episode. He said Bailey was his favorite character.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love that you've been watching the episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's all about it. Like, he likes to act like he, like, will watch it with me, but whenever I'm like, I gotta watch the episode, he's like, oh, cool, yeah, I'll watch it.
That's amazing.
Who is your least favorite character?
Who is my least favorite character? I don't know. So I don't know if, I'm not a big fan of Addison, but I think it was more because of the storyline that revolved around her than her. Like, I just wanted Meredith and Derek to be together.
She was a roadblock. Like,
exactly. But yeah. She's actually as a character, she's really cool and like a strong woman. So that's rad.
I love it.
Do you have a favorite relationship?
Well, in terms of a romantic relationship, I do love Meredith and Derek, but I also really love the relationship between Bailey and the Chief.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. And it's so freaking cute.
Yeah.
It's so cute. And I don't know, when they're fighting, I just can't watch it. And can we do spoilers now? I forget.
Yeah.
So I think coming up in a couple episodes, because I accidentally watched ahead, I think in a couple episodes, Chief is like, oh, sorry, Bailey, I should have made you chief resident. And then she like starts crying and gives him a hug.
Oh, I'm excited for that moment.
Yeah, me too. I've never thought of them as a relationship, but you're right. They have a really, like, it transcends through all of the seasons.
Yeah, and I really like when Bailey, because she's so like strong and whatever, but like the moments when she has, like, you forget that she's just like also a young woman. I feel like those are my favorite moments. Like that one, I don't think it has happened yet with her and Derek, Maybe it has.
Oh no. What when about he talks,
yeah, that he's a band nerd. That was like one of my
favorites. Oh, yeah, that was good.
I'm looking forward to that moment. Yeah. So I love it.
Do you have a favorite death or a death that made you feel the feels?
Definitely George's death.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I can't.
Oh, I'm going to be a wreck. You guys should get me really drunk before we record that one just, and just let me go. Yeah.
That can be like an extra patron episode.
Yeah, exactly. Abby gets wasted.
Yes, I'm loving this idea.
Bree's not even there.
You have to drink a bottle of wine before I even start. Yeah. And then the next one will be get Bree really wasted. She'll talk about Owen
Heim. Yeah, no, you can't do that. It's too inappropriate.
Yeah. Do you have an unpopular opinion about Grey's Anatomy?
I was trying to think of one like before we started recording, and I really don't think so. Maybe just that I kind of dropped off, you know, like I couldn't really get into the newer seasons.
Yeah, because we haven't had many people say that.
Right. And we all bitch about it, but then we still watch every time. Yeah. So I think like, yeah, you're like, a rare breed. Yeah. You can be like, instead of like 4 years sober, you're like 4 years post grace. Like you have given in to the weakness.
And then how did you find the podcast?
Well, I love listening to podcasts. I mostly listen to true crime and horror podcasts.
No,
so you're our type of person. I need a little break.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so you guys are a good dose of positivity.
I love that. Did you just search it, like Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, I was like, what else am I obsessed with? And so I searched Grey's, and a couple came up. I actually was surprised that there weren't more Grey's podcasts, and I just picked your guys's, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board.
I'm obsessed. I'm just thankful.
Yeah. Hashtag.
Yeah. I never search for podcasts, I feel like. I'm just like, I listen to these four, and
I do so sometimes, but... But yeah, like, I guess I wouldn't really think to be like The Office podcast or something.
And I very much judge them by their pictures, which is bad because I don't even like know how I feel about ours.
Yeah. Like ups and downs.
Yeah, ups and downs.
Oh, I think you guys have a great picture. I think that was one of the reasons why I picked yours, because I was like, oh, two younger women drinking wine. Like, I'm a young woman who likes to drink wine. Let's do it.
This is a perfect way.
And now we're like drinking together.
Yeah.
Like just across the state.
I love it. Pretty close. Okay, I want to preface this. Oh, wait, is there any more questions?
I just wanted to say, is there anything else before we get into the episode that you want to say about grades or how you feel about it or certain favorite whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe just that, like, it's been really fun going back and, like, starting from the beginning. Because, like, I feel like Grey's definitely is separated into, like, phases. Like, the first three seasons where they're all, like, being interns and like they really focus on that like intern connection. And then there's like the chunk where you have like Mark and Lexi and like kind of the second wave of like main characters.
Yeah. It keeps it changing so that it's not like static, but also there's still like some similarities, I feel like, because otherwise you'd be like, well, you'd do what you did in season 10. We just stop watching.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's perfect. Should we get into it?
Yeah. Sorry
for the coughing. I just wanted to say that I would like to preface this one that I was under the influence and I took 2 pages worth of notes that I'm actually like daunting. It's like scary for me to look at because there's so many letters so close together. And so I just bear with me, everyone.
Do you want to pull up the
wiki?
The thing?
What thing?
The,
I'm trying
the
to.
Monologue.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Wait, let me do it on my phone.
Okay. While you do that. I will say the title of the episode is Love / Addiction.
Yeah, so, I thought that was a little trendy way of them to say that.
Yeah. And then I think, Melissa, you heard that we're starting to read monologues now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I will. I liked how Brie was like, it should be happening. I'm looking for it. I found it. Okay.
Okay. Do you want to read it?
I will read it. Okay. It says, all right. It says, in the hospital, we see addiction every day. It's shocking how many kinds of addiction. Wait, are you opening a bottle of wine?
Oh, sorry. Can you guys hear that?
Wait, yeah, but is that what you're doing? Did I guess right?
Yes, it is. Yes! Because I was just... I told Bree and Abby before the podcast started that I was having beer. Well, I started burping and I was like, I can't be burping into the microphone.
It literally, it sounds like when you're like taking a cork and it's like moving on the table.
Well, yeah, she's doing it on the table for sure. Like, oh, I'm obsessed. That's actually the perfect way to start this. Yeah. Continue opening it. We'll let you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
What kind of wine?
It is Dark Horse Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's perfect. Really good.
We're like in the one price level below that.
We're doing that tonight.
No shame. So funny. Okay, so the monologue is, that made me laugh. I don't know if I can read the monologue anymore. Okay, in the hospital, we see addiction every day. It's shocking how many kinds of addiction exist. It would be too easy if it were just drugs and booze and cigarettes. I think the hardest part of kicking a habit is wanting to kick it. I mean, we get addicted for a reason, right? Often, too often, things that start out as just a normal part of our life at some point cross the line to obsessive, compulsive, out of control. It's the high we're chasing. The high that makes every... I can't stop laughing because I'm addicted to Harry Potter and Broadway. Okay. This is too much for me. Okay, well, you read from It's the High We're Chasing.
Yeah. It's the high we're chasing. The high that makes everything else fade away. The thing about addiction is it never ends well because eventually whatever it is that was getting us high stops feeling good and starts to hurt. Still, they say you don't kick the habit until you hit rock bottom. But how do you know when you're there? Oh, that breaks my heart.
I know.
Because no matter how badly a thing is hurting us, sometimes letting it go hurts even worse.
That was a good monologue.
Yeah. I just thought about like you having to let go of Harry Potter, like Broadway music.
Because it's hurting me.
Like letting go of Lin-Manuel Miranda. Just like I have to like be done with this.
I don't think I can.
Oh. Too much.
Oh, that was so funny.
Okay, first notes. Melissa, you can go first.
Okay, well, like I think I mentioned, I skipped ahead a couple episodes because I just couldn't stop watching. And so coming back to the Izzy and George storyline, I wrote, are we still doing this?
We are. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote instantly Izzy is over George. Okay, oh, that was my interpretation because George says that like he loves her and then her face, or no, George is saying he's all like love struck. Remember he has that moment where he's like high almost kind of and he's like, I love you. I love blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh shit. Like I feel like she looks
a little like deer in the headlights. Like, yeah. Fuck, what have I done?
Right. Like as soon as George loves her, now like the chase is gone. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get that the first time around, but she does kind of have, like, her smile doesn't reach her eyes.
No, she's very afraid.
I think she's a little nervous. Yeah, and it kind of pans out in the rest of the episode. I wrote, oh, sexy breakup sex in red sheets. I was like, oh, the sheets are red. I don't know why. I was like, that all feels very sexy.
Oh, yeah, very. Also, the fact that he brings up Mare snoring again, which is like, that's when they were in a really good place.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of sad because like, they're not, but.
Yeah, she's kicking him out of the bed. And
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, the pouring. These are our. Just so you know, we'll know every time you refill.
Yeah.
And here I thought I was being so subtle.
I do need to talk about the opening scene with George. And just my next note is George's polo is so bad. Like, it is terrible, terrible, like, bro who, like, dresses himself, who can't.
He has a good haircut, finally, though.
He does have a good haircut, but his polo is not bad. Good.
All right. Noted.
Yeah.
I will comment in the next episode next week that I liked his shirt at the end of the episode, so things have changed. I wrote, George is still insane. Oh, as in, like, his dad died and he is still not well.
Oh, no. Like, definitely. Grieving some shit.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick shotgun workup?
Yeah, I don't know how to interpret. Okay. Tell me who they are.
So shotgun workup is there's the baby Brian.
Oh yeah.
Then,
which is an adult name.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, it's like who names their. Although my nephew's name is Harry.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And that is very much an adult name.
Yeah, that's
true.
It was
our grandfather's name, but like I always think that I'm like you're an old man. Marla, I think it's Brian's. Brian's mom. And then there's Clark.
Is that the neighbor?
I don't know. I just have Clark. I think it's the neighbor. And then there's like the dad. And then there's also No, Clark might be the dude whose heart stopped.
Oh. Okay.
So there's, it's like the mess like, group and then, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like all the same people. It's all the same storyline.
Yep. Which much. I was appreciative of. It felt easy for me to follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I think I was really intuitive when I took these notes. Okay. So I wrote, because, you know, George is about to leave and he can't even kiss Izzy. Like, he gets like close and he's like, never mind. I need to tell her. And I was, and that was like right when Meredith says it's the high we're chasing. So like, it's like, I feel like now that it's no longer like a thing, like they're not, it's not hard to get anymore. That's why. Anyways, yeah.
Same. Like, okay.
Should we go ahead, Melissa?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, like they're kind of both over it. And actually to that point, I wrote like, I thought it was weird that Izzy said at the end, like, it made me proud. Like, that's something you would say to a friend, but not, right.
Yes,
but not your, like, you know, the love of your life who just confessed his love to you.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, they are best friends. Like, this whole situation is, yeah. Yikes.
Maybe.
Should we just talk just, about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we should follow through with that storyline throughout the episode. If okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I love that idea. It's easy for me.
So then he gets like all like, oh, I'm going to go tell her and blah, blah, blah. And then Izzy like asks him not to.
Well, because she's afraid of Callie, because Callie's having a bad right. day. But it's still. Also, Callie's having a lot of bad days.
Callie is not doing well. your dad just like
oh sorry we're on point tonight.
I guess what else do you have to say about them in this episode, Melissa?
Let's see, did I take more notes on them? I wrote, this isn't like directly about an interaction between them, but I thought it was funny, like George, he's so caught up in all this that when he's putting Clark or whatever his name is in the MRI machine,
yes.
he's just like going on and on. And like the dude is coding and he doesn't notice.
Yeah. I wrote, George talks about his life and almost kills his patient. Like he just won't shut up.
He's manic right now.
Yes. Very. Yeah.
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 And then the part two, then like George, Mama's sitting there and I go, of course George is happy to see Mama and she has no idea who he is. Like is like stereotypical, like, He's like, I'm his guy, you know?
I also think that, I wrote, wait, why? Izzy has been wanting this forever and now doesn't want George to say anything. I also think that, like, George, he has this, like, revelation mm-hmm. that he shouldn't have gotten married. He was grieving, like, his family really liked Callie, all these things he's saying. But, like, my dad just died, you know, is, like, his punchline.
Right, right.
Should that be an indication that you shouldn't be telling someone else you love them? Like, you got married.
Right.
You need to be getting a divorce. This is not the time to be telling your best friend that you love them. Like, obviously, you have other shit you need to work through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, he's just not, he's not connecting all of the dots.
No.
He's connecting half of them, which is not enough.
He like started connecting them and then he got distracted because he's having a hard time focusing because he's not dealing with his grief.
Yeah. He truly was like, got kind of like, I don't know, out of his like, cause he's been in zombie mode for like a while mm-hmm. and now he's like out of zombie mode and into this crazy mode. I also think maybe this was the first time, like really out loud when George says that Burke dodged a bullet. And I feel like him like admitting that like marriage is a bullet he should have dodged is like one of the first, this is the first episode where he says that.
He admits it.
Right, right.
Oh yeah. Instead of like, is he saying it for him?
Exactly. Exactly. And then one of my notes was, oh no, is this going to be the day George tells her? I kind of forgot like how it all goes down. And I just feel bad for Callie. And like, they shouldn't have got married, but whatever, they are. And like, she knows what he's going to say. Mm-hmm. And it's just very sad to like,
well, it's sad at the end that like Mark confronts her and she was like, no, I'm not having a good day. And I think my husband's having an affair. Like, okay, let's be honest. If you've ever been cheated on,
you know,
like that you have an intuition and you know, and like, she has been feeling this for a really long time and she's like sucking at her fucking job. And like,
right.
Bailey's rubbing it in her face. And
then
her husband went manic and she's like, everything is about to come tumbling and crashing down around me. I just don't have it in me to deal with it tonight.
Right. Yeah. And I actually think it's like, I applaud her for like taking the upper hand and that being like, not tonight. Like, yeah. I know, but don't tell me tonight. I feel like that's kind of like a good, strong move.
Yeah.
Like you have the right in that situation to be like, not tonight, buddy.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. Until next week.
Well, actually, before we wrap this up, I have one question about Callie and George. Why do you guys think Callie married him? Because we know why he did it, but I don't understand. Like, yeah, she obviously like was in love with him, but also doesn't she come from like a big Catholic family? Like, I just can't imagine her not wanting like a big wedding that her parents could be involved in. And I don't like her, like her dad didn't die. So I don't know. I thought that was weird. I totally agree.
I don't think it's until later seasons episodes that Callie really comes into herself.
Right.
And I mean, I think it's not even until like, spoiler alert, we get to like some deep ass shit with Arizona.
Yeah.
Where like she kind of decides maybe this isn't what I need or want. I think it comes down to insecurity. Like,
yeah.
I think she wanted to be loved and she felt like she isn't good enough and George could love her maybe. And she like leaned into that and she felt like this like crazy girl, remember, where she's like, oh, why am I like this? And I think it's just, I think it was out of insecurity.
Yeah. And I think George seems like for her, like, well, you'd think that George isn't the kind of person that would hurt you also. He's like safe. So like, not only like, oh my gosh, he kind of likes me. Let's do this. Like, I'm insecure and like, this seems like an okay fit. I feel like from the outside, like you would think, oh, well, and plus like this guy would never, he's like a safe place kind of, mm-hmm. not knowing that like he has this side to him. But I agree 100%. Like, she's definitely not into herself yet. Like, she doesn't know who she is yet.
No, she's not super confident. And I think she has like moments of it, you know, like that day that she walked all the surgeries and she mm-hmm. was like, oh, you'd be a good chief resident. And so like,
I think medically she does, but maybe not like personally all the
but
way.
But now even medically, I think she doesn't feel that in her position.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel kind of bad for Callie's character because I feel like her storyline, she gets shit on a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that her and Mark are going to be best friends now, though.
Yeah. I don't know, Melissa, why do you think they got together?
Oh, I honestly couldn't come up with anything, but I think what you guys are saying makes sense.
Perfect.
It makes me even sadder for her. Yeah. So we're all agreed. Great.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Awesome. Oh, also I had to write, Callie says she fell asleep in the on-call room and I go, shout out to the on-call room. It happens twice in this episode. Just needed to make that there. Yeah. So I think that's all I have on those two for this week.
Same.
Okay.
I don't have anything else.
Do we want to talk about like who, there was a lot. The meth people, I don't know, mama. Do you want to talk about mama?
Sure. Let's talk about
mama. Okay, because I loved that. There was so much, I don't know. I just love how they all have a second with her and she either like destroys you or like destroys
lifts,
you.
Or like lifts you up in like a destroying way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have, who's the first? Well, Meredith.
Yep.
And she just, that was like, oh shit. First of all, mama addresses the fact that Meredith like was awkward as fuck when she stopped that wedding.
Yeah.
And like understand some deep shit about Meredith.
Yeah.
What did
she say? Like, you're either selfish or you're inappropriate. Like, I don't know which one I want to be. Neither of them.
Yeah.
And then when Meredith called her Mrs. Mama, ma'am.
Yeah. I wrote, Meredith seems so young in front of Mama. Yeah. Like, she seems like all of a sudden everyone reverts to like a small child is very afraid. Yeah. She's scary. Who else sees her? Well, I already talked about George. Well, and
Derek.
Then, oh yeah. What does she say to Derek?
She calls him an honorable man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I wrote question. Is Derek honorable? We don't know.
I don't know. What do you think?
Is he honorable? So I think it definitely, my answer definitely changes depending on what else is going on in the storyline. And kind of on a similar but different note, like, I feel like this is the first time that he is kind of like, quote unquote, the victim in he and Meredith's relationship. Like, the last three seasons, she's been like running after him And he's been like, I don't know, I might still love my wife. And this is the first time that like he wants to be in the relationship and she doesn't. So since I feel kind of bad for him, I want to say, yes, he is honorable, but I don't know, based on the rest of the show.
No, that makes sense.
Well, and like based on her definition, like, do you know when to walk away? Like, if you do, you're an honorable man. And then
that's because she's like calling Burke basically honorable. Like,
right. And
where does that note?
And then at the end, I gotta go to the end in a second, because I just felt so many things about like
what she says to Christina.
What she says to Christina, and then like Derek, like the fucking monologue's going on, and Derek is like looking at Meredith, and he doesn't walk away, not yet, you know.
Right,
like,
right.
He's addicted to Meredith. And Christina, like, yeah, I guess we were talking about Mama, like what Mama, like when she...
Can we talk about what she says to Christina? Because at first you think it's going to be like this empathetic thing. Because she says, like, I'm sorry you lost the man you love and your teacher. And you're like, okay, like, that's nice of her to come. And then she goes on to say, like, because you won't be great or you won't be able to be as successful without him. And, like, that is where I get furious, because, like, that's assuming that Christina can only be the best cardiothoracic surgeon with Burke as her teacher, that it's not possible for her to do it without, which is, like, so telling that Mama thinks Burke walks on, like, water, I kind of feel like. And I felt like, again, it was like one of those things, like, she tries to be nice, but in a way, like, fucking digs at you. And then she says that comment about how like, maybe if I'd been born in a different time, I could have been as whatever as you are. I forget what word she uses. But I don't know how I would feel if someone was like, oh, I'm very sorry you lost your teacher. Now you'll never be able to amount to what you could have with him. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think if like her part had ended there, I'd be really mad, because that's bullshit, like you just said. And then because I think the writers kind of pulled it up.
Yeah, yeah, the part about like if I had been born in a different time or whatever she said, that phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brie, you look contemplative.
Well, I guess I just didn't like hear it in that way. And it's interesting like hearing your response to it. I didn't feel like it was nice what she was saying. I wasn't like, wow, Mama's being really nice to Christina. But I felt like she was like leveling with Christina in the way that like she knew how and thought Christina could respond. Like almost like, I see that like part of the reason why you were with my son is because of the knowledge he could offer you. And I'm so sorry. Like, I understand that's probably more important to you than like losing the marriage. So like, I'm sorry that you lost that. That's how I heard it, instead of like,
I like that. I like that better. I just didn't hear it like that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And like, just like, I'm sorry for you. And I don't really understand what that feels like. Maybe if I was raised in a different time, I could.
No, I really like, I'm going to pretend that that's what it is.
I don't know if it is, but that's just how I heard it.
Cause I like that better. Cause I thought it was a weird, like, sort of like sexist dig, you know what I mean? So I like that better. And I feel like that maybe goes along too. Then, you know, Christina finally just asks her if she'll take the gifts and she says yes. And then she says, you're strong, you know, whatever. I don't know. I like that better.
Yeah. Cause I don't think Mama was coming there to like shit on Christina. You know, I think she was just, well, because of the part two where Christina is just like, he's never coming back, is he? Not even to say goodbye. And she's like, remember, you're a strong woman, Christina. Like, you don't need that.
Right.
Like, you don't need that relationship.
Right. Well,
like, that love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to be taught. And so I'm sorry that you lost that, but you don't need love. I don't know what that means.
No, it makes sense to me. Well, and then immediately after that, she goes into the drug dealer's wife, or the woman that was helping make the meth. And she just tells her straight up, like, oh, by the way. So I was like, Jesus, Christina, like, slow down. But I wrote, there's no softening it. But then she encourages the patient to breathe. Like, you are strong. You can get through this. And it's literally the same. It's like a perfect reflection of how Christina might be feeling right now.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually thought that was one of Christina's nicer like patient interactions.
Yes, I know, right? I agree though. Which is frightening.
Yeah, she's pretty much like, your life is over. You're going to prison.
And then at the end, Christina's alone in the apartment again, which we get a lot of those moments throughout this, like, view her healing. And I feel like she's very sad in this
I feel like I said that, like, I'm feeling so many things at the end. And it's like, that's the last shot, right? It's
right.
Just sitting there, like, kind of misty-eyed, like, all the gifts are gone. And it's like, all of his shit is gone that was left. And it's like, wow, he's like, this is really
done. It. Right.
I don't really remember where she goes from. Like, I do know at some point, but, like, the next couple episodes. Like, I don't really remember how she copes.
Right.
So, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any other stuff about the mama stuff?
Or Christina?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
Also, best line with Christina. So, she's, like, gambling her wedding gifts in the beginning for professional gain, you know, basically. And I love that Christina says, is it, you have nothing I want. I thought that was like a great thing.
In the beginning, I did write Christina is me on Christmas when she's opening those gifts and like not even looking at them in the very beginning, just tearing them open. Oh, and also one of her quotes is, carnage in the pit, my day is improving.
Classic. I feel like for Melissa's sake, we should really quick, it's not super big in the thing, but talk about when Bailey has a teaching moment orgasm.
Oh my God. Yeah, I love that. I said, Bailey needed a teaching moment when she did what? Yeah, she needed that. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, I said, I just love that she said to Karev, like, you got in the face of a drug dealer. She keeps yelling. And it's also sad because foreshadowing, which I don't know if you've seen this season, spoiler alert, Melissa, but like Karev gets and does another dumb thing that puts him like in trouble with the law. And it's Bailey that kind of like gives him the same exact fucking teaching moment. And so, but yeah, Bailey's like literal orgasm after she says it. It's hilarious.
He's like, thank you or whatever. She's like, no, thank you.
I'm never going to be able to watch this scene again. But like, you're not wrong.
Yeah, she was holding it in and she finally got to release it, you know?
Well, because she was like, I don't get to, I'm not allowed to, you're not my intern anymore. And he's like, you can just do it. And
I think he knew he needed it too.
Yeah, like he needed to be yelled at by Bailey. Bailey's like been stomping around, like telling Callie, like, you're not giving me any residence and so-and-so interns. And so she is just like, up to her fucking knees with sexual teaching moment tension. She just blows, man.
Sexual blows teaching moment tension. S-T-M-T. S-T-M-T. Sexual teaching moment tension.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, write that down so we don't forget that joke.
S-T-M-T. Sounds like an S-T-M-T.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. Okay, what else? See, I don't think I have anything else on Bailey. Bailey calls interns idiots. Oh, Bailey says she saves Meredith's life. Oh, she's using that against Meredith to like gain something from her. She's like, I saved your life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I thought that was really good. And then I love when Kelly confronts her and Bailey's just like, I didn't want interns.
Yeah. Exactly.
She just has so many good lines and also like faces. Like if you watch the episode and watch her face, it says everything that she can't say out loud.
Yeah.
Right.
She's such a good actress. How do we feel about though, how she's treating Callie? Let's just discuss this a little bit.
I like that you're like, this is you have to talk about this, students. Melissa, what, you go first. I have to compose my thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I do too. I hadn't really thought about the interactions between Callie and Bailey in this kind of storyline. I mean, I think they need each other. Not in this episode in particular, though. Bailey is kind of going around her, right?
Yeah.
To get what she wants. I mean, again, I'm biased because I love Bailey, but I don't think Bailey's being like mean or necessarily doing anything wrong. She just doesn't think that things will function under like Callie's like system, which maybe is a little messed up. Like Callie is the chief resident, and even though Bailey is salty, maybe she should like try and follow, like do things her way, at least at first, which she really doesn't. Like, she doesn't, I feel like she doesn't even give it a try. She's just like, I don't want interns. Like,
yeah.
Next. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I was gonna say, we'll talk about it next week a little more too, but I feel like Bailey's, she reminds me of me in the sense of like not good at group projects. Like, it's either like their way or no way. And I feel like she's not being mean, like you said, but she's also not being helpful. Like, she's.
No, and I think she's, quite frankly, I think she's being really condescending.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because she still is in the mode of anger that I should have been the chief resident.
Yeah. And at some point, like, even if you think you could do it better, like, you have to get over yourself and you have to be like, what can I do to benefit, like, the whole team here? Like, sometimes you have to, like, step out of yourself.
Right.
And, like, you'll get your moment. Like, Callie's going to fall without you, like, shitting on her. You
right, know what I right.
mean? Because, like, if things aren't functioning properly, like, it always bites you in the ass, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know. I just feel like Bailey is being, like, really harsh to Callie.
That's oh, yeah. How I felt. Yeah, no, for sure.
And, like, I think you're right. Like, maybe not mean, but just, like, God, she will not give her a break at all. And then Chief is running in, like, you have baby running around the house. Yeah, you in charge.
Yeah, it's the only time Chief has ever really yelled like that. And also, like, it's not Callie's fault that Alex got in. Like, that has nothing to do. Callie was, like, doing surgery, and Karev got in the face of a drug dealer. which I wrote, it's funny, again, I didn't remember how this panned out. And I was like, ooh, Alex is going to crack. And I was like, oh, shit, no, the patient does.
Well, yeah, and Karev calls him a son of a bitch. Right? Yeah. Like, that is, like, such terrible bedtime.
Yeah,
I understand that these people were cooking that. Like, that's not cool. But like, you also just called the patient a son of a bitch. Like, you should probably lose your job.
Also, this person is probably still high, so don't do that yet.
They weren't using.
Oh, that's true. But doesn't the explosion do something to you or no? I don't know how meth works.
I don't know. We don't know how meth works.
I feel like they said he wasn't using, but are we sure?
Yeah, no, I don't think he was.
Then why was he so like crazy?
Because he was cooking meth.
Because he was going to go to jail forever.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, so he was paranoid. Also, you guys, who says the line?
No, he wasn't paranoid. He was going to go to
yeah. Who says, are you an idiot or a stalker? Does Mama say that?
No.
No, that was. Go ahead.
No, who? Ready, set, at the same time. One, two, three.
Is that
Meredith?
Oh, okay.
To Lexi, right?
Oh, yeah, that's who it is. I love that line. I wrote it down.
I did too. Let's talk a little bit about Meredith and Lexi.
I feel it's hard to talk about it having watched the one that comes after this, because I feel like that's where it all, like, truly gets hashed out. But I feel like Lexi just being way too, like, nah, be my friend. But also, like, she has no idea of what went on behind the scenes. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
That's fine. You don't have
to. I have no thoughts.
There's just a lot of daddy issues flying around in this episode. Yeah. And it hits a little too close to home. So yeah.
No, I love that you just said that. Can that be the title of the episode? Yeah, there definitely are. And I feel like it'll take a, I mean, it would, I'm glad that they're not like buddy buddy right away, because it would be very obnoxious if suddenly Meredith had a new best friend. Like, I think it's good that it makes the, like, us viewers, like, work for them to become friends, you know?
Yeah. And also, it, like, wouldn't be authentic for Meredith. Like, as we can see from the whole thing going on with her and Derek right now, like, she doesn't let people in.
Right. Right. Bree, what's wrong with your face? You just did a weird, you were like.
Oh, I just burped.
Oh, sorry. I thought something was wrong.
No, I was just like, keep it, holding that in. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Everyone knows now.
All right, Brie and I have talked about our burping. Abby, it's your
I
turn.
Can't burp. It's a long issue. We don't need to get into it. I don't know how, which is why I can't drink things with bubbles.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and my stomach is hurting all the time. okay, maybe there'll be an episode about that sometime. I feel like I'm just on random notes. Do we have any other large themes to talk about?
I don't know if this counts as a large theme, but I really want to talk about the neighbor to the drug dealers.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is whatever his name was.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't think they used it.
Yeah. What were you?
No,
go ahead.
No, they did in the very beginning, and I was going to write it down, and I forgot. so it's okay.
No, go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts.
I think this is one of my favorite like patient cases, just because it hits me right in the feels when he's like, I babysit for drug dealers.
I know, he's so sad. And also like that very last line when he says like, I just like, they were my family. Like that was it. I feel like a little gutted by that moment at the end.
Oh yeah.
Well, and also like, yeah, he's like, we went on picnics. We did this. Like, and I, who is it that says just because, oh, Izzy, right? Just because someone does a bad thing doesn't mean they're a bad person. Like,
oh, she does.
I think it's her, because I think like she's thinking about herself cheating, like yeah, with George. But I,
of course she's thinking about herself.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm bummed. I feel like that is a very like true sentiment about a lot of things in the world. Like sometimes people do dumb things, but it doesn't mean they're, you know, bad people. And like, yeah, I'm sad for him. Is that like your thought? Like did that patient you said?
Oh yeah. Super, super sad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel really bad for that innocent fucking child. Oh
yeah.
Is, like having withdrawals from.
Great actor though.
The child.
Yeah, it cried. He cried perfectly. Like I felt, yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Wait, I actually wrote that down. I was like, first I wrote, it's hard to listen to this baby crying. And then I wrote, how do they make the baby cry? Like,
they're like, here, your mom doesn't exist anymore.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how child, how child acting works, but I definitely was like, I am feeling high stress listening to this child cry.
Yeah.
And then I actually had a thought, but I didn't write it down. Do you think it's less like, you're less annoyed by it when it's your own child and you're just more concerned? Because I was like, the sound is very annoying. I would like it to turn off. But
how? I think they do say that like you learn different cries and stuff. Like, okay, you know different things. But I do think at some point you want to tell yourself.
So you'll learn. You'll learn the meth cry.
Yeah,
<'Cause> he needs another also, hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I wrote meth in all caps. Like right
so
when
did
the- also because Karev smells it, and that was my next note, was Karev can smell meth. Tells a lot about him. Also, so many quick notes. First of all, someone says they look grim, and I thought that was the funniest fucking note I've ever seen. Whoever describes, it was a doctor describing a patient, and like they look grim.
I don't remember that.
I don't know, but anyways, I wrote Karev with a baby is perfect. Karev knows the smell of meth. And Jumanji drums equal meth.
Oh yeah, there's so many Jumanji drums.
Sorry, did you say Jumanji drums?
Yeah, yeah, you know like the music in Jumanji whenever something bad is gonna happen.
Oh,
they do that. No. In a lot of, well, it's just like you just hear like a subtle like do, 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 and then like the parade of animals comes through. Like I feel like I feel I feel like in Grey's whenever something dramatic is happening there are drums,
and then it goes to commercial.
Yeah. But because it's Netflix, it's just like
the Netflix.
Yeah. What are commercials?
I don't know, they don't exist anymore.
Thank God.
Yeah, here's a random note. When Derek goes to talk to Mama, and he's like, he stopped returning my calls. I wrote, was Derek even friends with Dirk? Like, I don't think they really were.
I think Derek thought they were, yeah, but were not.
And then...
awkward ghosted.
Yes.
Yeah. I also wrote that Derek said this about Christina. He said, I think she loved him the best way she knew how.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet, because I think she did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was the way that Burke needed or wanted to be loved or in a, like, a relationship, but I think it was what she knew.
I also think that Derek needs to hear that and realize that Meredith is also loving him the best that she can.
At this moment.
Yep.
At this juncture.
At this juncture. I have a note. Can someone explain this to me? It says, Christina should get over there. Where? I have no idea. Maybe it's to Mama. I don't know.
She needs to get over there to Mama and just like rip the Band-Aid off.
Exactly. Like I thought it was a little like you can't send all your friends over and not yourself. But I like to just think of it as a vague note.
Yeah. I did say at the end this song, I don't know what it was, but the line just kept going over and over. We all move on. We all move on. And I was like, I'm feeling things. We're all gone. I don't know where we're from. We've all been there.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. On the Lexi Meredith thing, this is in this episode that she gives her the speech that we do not have the same dad. Like the way she ends that by saying like, oh, was your dad whatever? And she's like, yes. And he's like, okay, well, we do not have the same dad. He chose you. Yeah. And I thought that was a really impactful and tactful kind of way for Meredith to like try to get her point across to Lexi that like, this is why I'm not talking to you yet.
Yeah.
Anyways, I forgot. I have more seizures.
Yeah, no, I really like that speech.
Yeah. I think it's, like, it's too much of Lexi to ask Meredith to, like, be on her side. Like, I know it's not Lexi's fault that Thatcher chose their family, but it's also not fair to, like, give Meredith space. Like, Lexi is demanding Meredith to communicate with her and, like, level with her and like,
right,
try
right.
and get to know her. Like that, like you met each other like yesterday when she was trying to go into the ER and you were like, I'm your sister.
Yeah. It's a little extreme.
Yeah.
It's a little like, I feel like once anybody tells anybody like, look, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. And then they continue mm-hmm. like, that's what harassment is. So let's all calm down.
Exactly.
Also like, I wasn't going to say this because it kind of sounds stupid, but like Lexi's an intern. So how does she have time to stalk Meredith around the hospital? Shouldn't she be like working or sleeping?
She's Christina.
Oh yeah.
No, like she should not, like she should be on case or unless Christina's not giving her cases or things to do, but she should still be doing like Scott or whatever.
That's why I think Meredith's line, like, are you an idiot or a stalker? I think she's choosing stalker. Like, I think she's like, actually just putting aside all work she has to do and stalking Meredith. I also, speaking of Christina and her interns, I just love when she says things like, she's like talking to someone and she just goes, to stay. Like, it's just so Christina.
Yeah. It's so Christina.
When she says, if you have time to stare, you have time to get me coffee.
Yeah. And that's when she said then to stay.
Yeah.
I also think it's fun to find little like, bits of foreshadowing, which it probably, I don't know if it is or if it's just coincidence, but there's a scene with McSteamy, I forgot his real name, Mark, and the patient is talking to him, and Mark, I think, sort of says something flirty to Callie or something, and she goes, I'm married. And I just thought that was funny that, like, Mark was trying to have an in, Callie says, I'm married, and it's like, ha, ha, ha. Like, eventually, yeah.
They boof
and make a baby. So, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Speaking of the go ahead.
No. Please go.
I was just going to say, like, another, like, piece of foreshadowing that I really liked was, I really like Alex's career path. And at the beginning, when Callie puts him on the baby, he's like, I'm supposed to be on plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he just has a really natural way with children.
I know.
And doesn't really know it yet.
I think it's such a good redeeming factor because, like, he's a douchebag a lot of the time. And I feel like Shonda made him great with kids.
Yeah.
As, like, a thing that always pulls you back.
Also, I have a note. Krev's hair this episode.
This season. It's got a new.
What's going on?
Everyone got new hairdos.
It's just like. So, yeah.
George finally looks the same age as all the others.
Also, I feel like. Karev had like this was one of his first moments of like really telling a patient off.
Yeah.
Like being really inappropriate with a patient.
Yeah, probably. And physical. Although he didn't really, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, what did he call him? Son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
I'm pretty sure he like spit in his face, so that's kind of physical.
He was like holding his child.
Yeah. It was very much Alex's fault that guy punched him.
Yeah. Melissa, do you have any like stray notes or anything?
No, we pretty much covered everything that I had written down. I'm sure there's more stuff. There was just like so much in this episode.
Yeah. There was. I'm also very appreciative of the monologue, reading it, because it makes the whole episode make sense.
John was like kind of put off by this episode, and he was like, I think it really did a disservice to like addiction and like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, but you're not understanding Grey's Anatomy. Like, I don't think they were like necessarily like with this meth story diving into addiction, because addiction is a very serious topic.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I can see like watching it in the monologue being about addiction. I guess I just wanted to speak to this. Like, yeah, they could have gone a different route with this, but I was like, I also don't think in 40 minutes they have the ability to like speak to addiction.
Right.
And I think, spoiler alert, there are other characters through storyline
that they do that.
That they do that with.
Right. I agree. I didn't even think about that. And like, it was more for the vehicle of discussing like the people's romantic thing, addictions. But yeah, I feel like they didn't do a good job there. I can see why John thought that, but like with Chief and Amelia, like, I think they do an awesome job. Yes. So that'd be hard if you just watch a one episode and you're like, well, that was shitty.
Yeah, we're talking about addiction. This is bullshit.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to disappoint you guys, but there are like barely no notes in trivia. So the episode's title originated from the song Love Addiction, originally sung by Morris Day, and the episode scored 18.51 million viewers.
Okay. That's it. Those are all the notes in trivia.
That was it. That was it. I also have a thought that I'm going to, but I think that we should just basically start every episode by saying this episode contains spoiler alerts. If you haven't, and then we can be free to talk about foreshadowing and stuff.
I think we should start doing that.
Great. Melissa, what do you think? You're the vote of all the people.
I agree.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. It's decided. We'll talk about this, but I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is foreshadowed, like the characters' relationships and stuff.
Yeah,
kind of bonkers.
Okay, I think we should first rate the episode.
Okay, Melissa, you have to go first. Always.
Okay, I think I'd give this one like 7 scalpels. Ooh, I feel like it was pretty solid content. Not like ferry boat level or anything, but good.
Right. I think I'm also gonna give it a 7. I had GGBs with the old guy at the end, and I don't know, the Jumanji drums and meth storyline was very exciting.
I'm going to go with a 7 too. I know I usually rate way lower, but like, I really didn't, I felt like a lot at the end. I felt a lot about Christina. I felt like a lot about the monologue about addiction and like,
yep,
relationships. And like, I know I have personally experienced like being like addicted to a relationship, and that is, even though it might not be healthy for you, and so I felt a lot of things, and I love when shows are able to do that and you can kind of put yourself in that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we call time of death, I started a new thing.
Oh,
and we did this last week, but Melissa, as our guest, what are you into these days? What are you
listening to? Yeah.
Like, are there podcasts or music or movies?
Non-Grey's related.
Non-Grey's related. This is your time to just kind of speak to whatever you want. Or you
don't. Okay. Well, I guess quick sidebar, like based off what you were just saying, Brie, like, and how the episode made you feel things. Like when I started watching Grey's, I was kind of in like a not great place. And I feel like every episode I was just like, oh my God, like that's totally a lesson that can apply to my life. So I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. But in terms of non-Grey's things that I'm into now, like I said, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. I don't remember if I did say that or not actually, but I am.
You did.
And one that I just got into is called It's About Damn Crime. And the two hosts are women of color. I assume they're both women. I don't remember if they use pronouns or not. But let's say two women of color, and they focus on people of color and other minorities in the cases that they talk about. That's so awesome. It's really cool. And it's also just like two best friends, like being super funny the way you two are. So
I also love that it's called
What
It's About Damn Crime, and like it's, that they're also speaking on minorities. I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a great title.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I'm really into right now.
What about like what's on your Netflix queue besides Grey's Anatomy?
I have so many things in my queue and I never watch any of them. I literally just watch Grey's Anatomy and Parks and Rec over and over.
Oh, Parks and Rec. So good. Okay,
yeah. I have a question. Are you like me, Melissa, where like I feel like I can't start something new? Like I just have to put something mindless on that I've seen 4,000 times. Like I watch Gilmore Girls over and over and over again, and it just doesn't get old.
Yeah, I mean, I think a really good show can do that. And also, yeah, like you're saying, if you just want something on in the background, like I never sit down and just watch TV. I'm like making dinner or whatever.
I think that because like when I'm editing, I'm sitting and I'm like for like 5 hours at a time. So I feel like I have the time to invest into a new show, you know, where like whenever you start a new show, you don't want to watch like one episode and go to bed. And so, cause it takes a couple to get into it. So I feel like that is how I'm able to like pick up, you know, like new and different ones. But I would like to recommend Brie out loud on the podcast to you, a show that like, if you like Gilmore Girls, I feel like you would like Parenthood. Cause
Oh, I've seen it all.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
No, I've seen it all.
Don't tell me anything. Yeah, I'm in season one.
I love
it. Okay.
You're
so,
going to really like it.
Okay, great.
I've watched that like three times.
Oh my God. Okay. Favorite Parks and Rec character. Go, Melissa.
Okay. Gosh. Jean Ralphio. Amazing.
So good. I just sent that. I just sent that gift of the worst to a friend today. He's the best. What's the scene go ahead.
I was going to say, I have the gift saved where Lindsay Nope is like, why are you like this? And he's like, pills, baby.
One of my favorite scenes is when, I think it's like, was there a funeral involved, but then they play music or they like run away during their own funeral or something?
Yes. It was the season finale. And it's like, that's how they open up like, Jean Raphael's part. And they're like doing his funeral. And then they cut to him and his sister behind the tree. And they're like, all right, I guess. And it's like time to start a casino in Nevada, you know, or something random like that.
Don't be suspicious. I just love them so much. How fun would it have been to play like Jenny Slate's character?
Oh my gosh.
That has to be the best job. Oh, I'm very jealous now. I'd like to see a crossover with Bailey and Jean Ralphio, and she has to give him a teaching moment.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
I would die. If anyone has too much time on their hands and they want to like splice that together and put it on YouTube, that would be great.
We'd really all appreciate
honestly, there. Who are those people that make those YouTube videos? They have to have the time.
Band ones where it's just like set to music, or the ones where music videos don't come out yet and they make lyric videos.
Yes,
like my friend Lori and I used to lay in bed
and watch them,
watch like learn songs through like lyric videos on YouTube. It's like I feel like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
why we were looking them up. But who does that shit?
I don't know.
A million views. It'd be like, who the fuck is watching this? Probably just like playing.
Me, because I don't play for music, so I'll definitely listen on YouTube.
Oh, you don't have like Spotify?
No.
I also very much watch all of the weird fan-made YouTube videos. I get sad when I finally find one. I'm like, oh, I already watched it. It's like suggested to me, and I'm like, oh, been there.
Yeah,
done that one. So good. Well, Melissa, you've been an amazing guest.
Before we go,
I was just going to tell her all the things I love about her.
Okay,
no, I'm just kidding. But thank you for being a patron, like so much. We're very thankful. We still can't believe that people actually do it.
Well, yeah, it means a lot to us. And it's so nice talking to a fellow Michigander. Wait, I do have a question. Did you live in Michigan your whole life?
Did I what? Sorry.
You said you didn't grow up in Michigan?
No, I didn't.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up just over the border in Toledo.
Cool. Canadian.
Yeah, but I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm not Ohio State or University of Michigan, so.
I just said a Canadian. Toronto.
Sorry, other border.
I was like, did you watch Degrassi growing up?
I actually grew up next to Drake.
Yeah, and Justin Bieber was my first boyfriend.
Yeah, and Shania Twain is my sister.
and Celine Dion
is
my
mom.
Aunt. Perfect. Oh my God. Okay, well, Ohio is great. Did you go to Perrysburg or Maumee? Because those are the only two places I know in Toledo.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, but I'm still excited that you know those places.
Yeah, my best friend went, well, my other best friend, she went to high school at Perrysburg, so I knew all about that rivalry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, I love Michigan though. Michigan's great for anyone else who lives here. Shout out for anyone who doesn't. You should come visit, especially for like the Traverse City Cherry Festival or something. And yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's been a blast. And thanks for putting on this podcast, because I know I have fun listening every week. So
yay. Well, hopefully you stay a patron and join the Google Hangouts when we do those next. Cause that will be fun and probably like, real awkward the first time we do it, cause we won't know what's going on, and, but it'll be great. So, thanks again. And we will let you call time of death. So wherever you are at in the world, which we now know is the same as us, whatever it is in the country of Toledo, will you please call time of death?
I would be honored to. So time of death is, time of death is 21:04.
Beep. Okay, we're back.
Okay. You called time of death way too early.
Tell everyone what you just said.
I just told Abby and Bree that I'm going to see Hamilton later this month.
Fuck yeah, she is. Are you going to Chicago?
I am going to Chicago.
Okay, a follow-up question. Have you listened to the soundtrack?
I've listened to the soundtrack about 1 million times, I'm listening to it every day between now and when I actually see the show.
You're going to be totally fine. Where are your seats? It doesn't matter.
I mean, they're like nosebleed seats, but I don't even care. I'm going to have my eyes closed anyway as I mouth all the words as the performers are singing them. So
you're going to see from that high. It's great actually, because you get a good view of the lighting design, which is very important. Cool. Yep. And I encourage you to watch the ensemble members and to also walk in with like no expectations and then they'll be blown.
Okay. Abby told me the best thing that Abby ever told me was exactly what she just said, but said, like, remember, you listen to the recording of the original cast members, like, try as best as you can to put that out of your head and just appreciate what you're seeing. And I don't think if Abby wouldn't, I think I still would have appreciated it, but the fact that Abby said that put me in that mindset, and it then blew my mind, because I wasn't expecting to, like, see Lynn on stage and hear his voice, or, like, Burr or something, you know, it made me just appreciate who was on the stage. Please pack a ton of tissues, because it's the worst when you cry and you don't have any tissues to wipe your nose.
I didn't think about either of those things. I am gonna bawl like a goddamn baby. So
yeah.
Also, okay, quick few questions. Also, I don't know if I'm pretty sure Miguel Cervantes is still the Alexander Hamilton there, but I don't know if you'll have an understudy or not. I've seen it once with an understudy and once without, but he's amazing. Also, I don't know if it's the same Burr, I told Brie he has sort of a little bit of a lisp in some like things. Yeah. And so it's just a little different. But also what I was going to ask you, here's my, these are like, what is it called when they're really fast questions?
Like rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Okay. What's your favorite currently today Hamilton song?
Nonstop.
Oh yeah. Good.
You're not being graded.
Has there ever been a song that you feel like you're gonna cry during?
Oh, absolutely. Which is awkward because I'm always listening at work. But obviously Burn, and then also Who Tells Your Story when Eliza starts singing.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
I'm about to start crying right now. She's like, can I tell you what I'm proudest of? I'm like, tell me, Eliza. Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, also Nonstop. I cried during that one.
You did?
And I also cried. Well, I cried for the
Why do you write when you're running out of time?
Write day and night.
The world turned upside down. We won.
I
cry every time.
In Yorktown.
I fucking hear that. I'm like, yeah, we fucking won. We're a country. And like, I don't know. I'm not like super patriotic by any means, but I'm like, history has its eyes on you and Hamilton. And so you'll just cry the whole time. Another rapid fire.
Yes.
Who's your favorite character?
Can she have one without seeing it yet? I feel like it's hard.
No, we're going to call you back and ask that after.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be interesting because we can... I thought you were still asked. I was like, we can compare and contrast. I shouldn't have said anything because I don't know if I have a favorite character. I don't have one. They're all so good.
Is there a song that you skip?
Yeah, that's good.
You like it.
Yeah.
I guess not, because nothing comes to mind. I feel like it depends on the day. Like maybe I won't be, maybe like I don't want to hear Burr whine, so I'll skip.
Yeah.
the also, song before like, they have their duel or something.
Is there a song you, because like sometimes, like usually I just start it from the beginning, but sometimes I pick a sec, like is there a section you start it from if you're going to listen to it on a drive?
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking. I actually just made, I actually just made a playlist where I, so I did like the first song and then the last song and then like the second song and then like the second to last song, like in the style of The Last 5 Years, if you guys have seen that show.
I haven't.
No.
Oh, that's really good. I wish I could remember who it's by, but it's about a couple and, one of the, they each sing, like they never sing together except for the very end. But, so the girlfriend slash wife, she starts at the beginning and she's singing about how their relationship fell apart. And then the boyfriend slash husband starts singing and he's singing about like when they first meet. And then as the show goes on, their storylines work backwards slash forward and they meet in the middle.
Is this a musical?
Yeah.
We need to look this up.
Yeah, this is our new thing.
That's perfect.
So you're a musical person.
I am. It takes me a couple of years to like, I'm slow. So like, I haven't listened to Dear Evan Hansen yet, but like, that'll probably be the next one I'm obsessed with. And then I'll be like, oh my God, have you guys seen this? And everyone will be like, yeah.
And then you'll be like, shit, the tour already happened and I can't see it anymore because it's happening soon.
But don't worry. If you just get into cats, it's forever playing out.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Oh my gosh. Just please let us know what you think of the show after you see it.
Yeah, please.
Maybe
send us a little selfie or something, or a little shot of the stage.
Yeah, or tag the on-call room and we'll have our voicemail up soon once we meet that goal. And then you can leave a voicemail about how Hamilton was.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I'll definitely want to talk about it. So we'll do.
Call immediately after.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Just leave us an emotional voicemail.
Yeah, then we'll probably call.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll call you once I've calmed down enough that you can actually understand what I'm saying.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Enjoy.
Have a blast. And truly, thank you for everything. You're the best. This has been the Hamilton podcast.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was like, do we beep again? Okay. Time of death, 21:14.
Beep.